Welcome to episode 175 of the Family Podcast Network. Ow, it's Shaft!
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. The date today is November the 26th, 2012. Our topic for today is going to be, are smartphones really the devil? That's right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about all of the things that gets left at us and thrown at us to say that smartphones are the devil for kids. Kids shouldn't have smartphones. Can you believe that kid who's 4 years old that has one? We're going to talk a little bit today about, is that really accurate? Why is that accurate? We're going to go over an article written by actually a pretty well-done article that, in reality, as much as I say it was really well done, it was written by Kimberly Brooks over at the Huffington Post. And while I say it is a pretty well-done article, we're going to talk about why I disagree with a lot of it and a little bit about to why that is. And so, again, you got a kiddo. You've been wondering, should they have a cell phone? They have a cell phone, and is it wrong for them to have a cell phone? I gave my kid a cell phone, and am I a bad parent for doing it? We're going to talk again about the demonization of the smartphone. Before we get into that, guys, let's go over our housekeeping real quick. If you guys want to get free updates on episodes, what did Trey talk about today? I kick out 3 episodes a week, which means that in a lot of cases, you may get so many of these that are getting kicked out, you want to know, oh man, what did Trey talk about at the middle of last week? I hadn't had the time to get around to these. That's your easiest way to do it. You can jump into your email. You'll get a little email that says, what do we talk about today? And then you'll know, man, I got to go check that one out today. And it could be that one thing that you needed that week to say, man, if I'd have known that, this would have been a heck of a lot easier week. So jump over there, do that. I want to make sure that you guys don't miss out on an episode that you need to hear. Next up, guys, like us on Facebook, share us, Pinterest, YouTube, all that other good jazz. I love connecting with you folks. If you guys can't tell, seriously, I'm a high extrovert. I get my energy from being around and interacting with people, even on a electronic social media venue. I love people. I love working with people. My biggest goal is to help people. That's what I love to do. I love doing that and anything that you want to do. I want to say a quick welcome to all the folks from the Survival Podcast who have liked us on Facebook and in Twitter. You've even got some on YouTube. We've got some new subscribers on email. I want to say a honest and heartfelt and sincere thank you to all of you guys here. Make yourself at home. If you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, anything like that, there's several different ways you can get a hold of me. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. Next off, if you guys want to go check out the blog, I highly recommend it. Why do I say that? You're like, oh yeah, you're just trying to pitch yourself. No, actually, my beautiful bride and wife, Corey, she is the second part. Any of the parenting stuff that we talk about on here is a two-part thing that my wife and I have honed throughout the years. And so all of this that you're hearing and seeing and listening to on this show is a two-part deal. It also comes from my wife. My wife writes a blog over at, it's thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, or in the upper little navigation bar up there. You may notice some changes. My contractor is working on, my web developer is working on kind of fixing that up and making some new stuff. You may see some changes going on up there, but the bottom line is it'll say blog up there. Go click on that. Go listen to that. My skill set lies in speaking. I love to talk. That's why I did a podcast. My wife's is no doubt in writing. She has written blogs so good that even after we've talked about them extensively before she starts putting them up, I still go read and go, yeah, that's good. I'm telling you, go check out Corey's stuff. She does a great job on that blog, and I'm telling you, you will not regret it. Next off, if you guys want to support the show, 30 cents an episode. We kick out these things 3 times a week for completely free. Why do I do that? Honest to God, it's because I want you guys to be able to take the stress out of your parenting. I'm not going to leverage that against money. I do that under the belief system that if I can offer out all of my good stuff, the very best stuff that I have for completely free, people will step up and say, I want to support that. I want to keep that flowing. You can do that by becoming a PTACR. PTACR stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That is a funny twist on PETA, basically just saying, support the show, help take the stress out of parenting. commenting last, if you guys want to contact me. So going back to, if you guys have some questions, those folks that are making themselves comfortable. Okay, but I want to hear an episode on blank. You can actually do that by emailing me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can go to the Contact Us form at the top navigation bar and select any of those that you want to do in there. Next off, cool thing, if you have a microphone connected to your electronic device, like your laptop, I discovered that you can do it on an iPad and an iPhone as well. You can actually leave an internet voicemail if you have a microphone attached by clicking on the little right-hand bar that says Ask Trey a Question. You can leave a voicemail that just asks a quick question. Now, make sure that you put in there, if it's okay for me to put it on the site, it'll actually allow you to send a message to me. It'll basically send me an email. Put in that email, it's okay to put this on the site or don't put this on the site, but I want to answer your questions through that. And then last, if you guys want to contact me, you can do that by phone, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is 661-PARENT-0. If you're out driving, you're out and about, you're stuck in traffic, and you remember something, like, oh crap, I want Trey to talk about this, but I'm going to forget by the time I get home, you can call me at 661-PARENT-0 and leave that message. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way, let's jump into our topic for today. I am so pumped up about this topic. And let me tell you why. It is the most mainstream in our society right now that whenever you say the words kids and cell phones, it's like people just all of a sudden just freak out. Oh, my God. Oh, if you give your kid a cell phone, you're just, oh, my gosh. You know, they should, you know, be chewing on sticks and running around out in the, you know, in the dirt. Now, first off, I agree with that. I think kids should be outside having a lot of fun. I think they should be running around in the dirt. They should be playing with sticks. They should be climbing trees and doing some pseudo-stupid stuff outside with those trees, right? I mean, I agree with all of those things. However, I think that we have demonized technology and cell phones and PlayStations and Xbox 360s, and we've done all these things. We've blamed all these devices, when in reality, those are not the problem. We're going to talk a little bit about how we're going to break that down. I was searching around my co-host. I also have another subsequent podcast that I do every Friday called The Real Family Guys Podcast. And it's aired here for any of you new listeners out there that are like, whoa, whoa, where's that at? How do I get to there? It's here, this site, every Friday. If you subscribe to the email notification, you'll also get the list of what we talk about on The Real Family Guys Podcast. And my buddy and I, good friend of mine, Jeff Emery, and I co-host that, and it's a great episode. It's one of my most highly downloaded, even out of all the Family Podcast Network episodes, it's one of the most highly downloaded per week. Again, that's Real Family Guys Podcast. Check us out on Friday. And anyway, he sent me over an article that said this could be good cannon fodder for you when it comes to doing this on a family podcast, and I went and looked into it. I thought, okay, we'll check it out, and he was right. This is good stuff. This was written by a lady named Kimberly Brooks over at Huffington Post, Screen Sense, and it says, if I were queen, kids and screens. I'm going to read you guys just some quick excerpts from this. And I'm gonna link this in the show notes down there so you guys can find this anytime you want. Go check out the rest of it. I'm going to pull out just the stuff I want to talk about today. Go read the rest of her article. I highly recommend it. Whether you agree with it or think she's total crap or whatever, go check her out, because she's got some fairly good stuff that's worth reading in there that I'm not going to go over today. But I'm going to jump in kind of the middle of this here. She said, I've started to have the desire to be a queen when smartphones invaded my children's elementary school. The first time I noticed it was when a third grader with divorced parents was discovered to be showing video porn to classmates and a few second graders during recess. Jumping down a little bit, it says, in fifth grade, another boy took a picture of some girls doing cartwheels that showed their underwear and then regularly threatened to post it to Facebook. It was weeks later until the girls' mothers, seeing their children visibly upset and suddenly not wanting to go to school anymore, got to the bottom of what was bothering them. First off, I want to be real careful here. That's an atrocity. That is very uncomfortable. That is inappropriate for these kids to be doing, and it's not okay. I mean, I want to be very clear here that I don't want to make it sound like I'm condoning this behavior. That needs to stop. And not only does that need to stop, that needs to stop right now. And that is not okay. So, I want to address this. Is this a problem? Yes. Is this an issue that needs to be dealt with? Yes. Is this a kid doing something that he needs to learn before he becomes a social deviant later in life, an antisocial personality disorder? Does this need to be handled now? Yes. The answer is most emphatically yes. But here's the thing. She goes on and says, so what's going on here? A Cambrian explosion in smartphones after the iPhone was introduced in 2007, combined with a killer deal by Apple in 2010 when the iPhone 4 was introduced and the once pricey earlier model was reduced to $50. So what is Ms. Kimberly Brooks saying here? She is saying that these issues that we are having with our kids. What's going on here? It's the boom in the smartphone. You see, I have a problem with this mentality. Now, is this the tool that's getting things there? Absolutely. Yes, it's one of the tools that is getting there. But I am going to go as far to say that it is absolutely erroneous, illogical, and just flat out ludicrous to say that these kids are doing these things because they have smartphones. To me, it's the exact same thing of saying, oh, well, look, if you'll notice, we have an abundance of overweight people because they started selling more spoons. It's like saying that we are having an increasing amount of shootings because firearms exist in this world. It's just as goofy as saying, well, we should, you know, we should start putting limitations on cars solely because people get drunk and then they get into accidents. Now, are all three of those things a very bad thing? Yes, obesity, nasty thing in this country. Shootings, I abhor them. As much as I made it very clear on here that I'm an avid shooter, I do not endorse shootings. Are accidents that are caused by alcohol an issue? Oh, heck, yes. These are all problems, but you see, it's inherent in the nature, especially lately in our society. It has become inherently natural to blame the tools that get us there instead of the person. And I see this all the time, and I see this, and I see PlayStations, and I see, you know, Wii, and I see Xbox 360s and Kinect and everything else that gets blamed. Oh, these kids just have their faces in the screens. I hear all of these things, and they blame all of these items, and I'm sitting in there going, no, do not do that with your kid. I tell you, the last few weeks has been kind of an issue over and over and over, going over these ideas of resiliency. How do we teach kids how to handle adversity? I just got approached by a good friend of mine saying, hey, I'm about to write a paper for the AAMFT, the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, on resiliency. Will you help me write this paper? And this has just been kind of a concurrent theme for me throughout the last few months, and it's been wonderful. But one of the number one things that I'm seeing is that we are having a group of kids that are being raised and taught to blame the things around them rather than themselves. And you see, this is an issue. And this is exactly what's happening. It's not the fact that kids are growing up with addictive behaviors. It's not an issue that they're bored to death and they don't have anything else to do except these things. It has nothing to do with the fact that they don't have any relationship with their parents. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that iPhones started selling more iPhones. I say bullcrap. Is it a piece to the puzzle? Yes, but the iPhone issue is a symptom of a problem, not the problem itself. But it's very easy to want to blame things like these cell phones. Moving on, she says, I know one 12-year-old who can see her friend's older brother's pictures of him rolling joints and getting high on his Instagram feed. My first thought is, why have you not taught your kids your beliefs on marijuana in the first place? Let's be honest about one thing. Marijuana in this society, especially in Colorado and Washington now, is an absolute reality. Why do your kids not know about this in start? What's happened here is, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, some of you guys may get a little fussy about this, but here's what I think the problem is. We have a fundamental lack, a fundamental breakdown in this one word, and I think it is the word that is the most important when it comes to our kids in terms of being the vessel, the ship, the thing that gets our information from us to our kids, whether it be our moral beliefs, right? Moral being your belief about what is right and wrong. Your values, those things that you believe are right and wrong so much that you'll actually practice them even when they're hard. What gets that from us to our kids is this one word right here. It's relationship. You see, why are these parents terrified of their 12-year-old kid seeing their brother taking pictures of himself rolling a doob? Why are they worried about this? My guess is, not everybody, but my guess and most of them is, there's a fundamental breakdown in relationship. They haven't talked to their 12-year-olds about joints yet, about marijuana. They want to shield and hide their eyes from these things. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that you say, oh, well, we want to make sure that we expose our kids to massive ODs, and what does it look like to be a meth head or something like that. So you run out there and you find one and you bring it in front of them or something like that. I'm not talking about freaking kids out or scare tactics or anything like that. But what I'm talking about is informing kids on the reality that this world has crap in it. And I would even go as far to say that you can judge a lot of the character of yourself or your kid or anything else by our ability to handle these kinds of things. You know, when I read this statement about a 12-year-old who can see her friend's older brother smoking marijuana, when I read this, I don't think to myself, oh man, that little kid smoking a doob or whatever. My first thought is, man, poor kid who they're so afraid of seeing this, isn't going to have a clue about what's going on, and that he might actually be tempted. You see, we need to be informing our kids on what we believe, so that way if they have technology, this isn't the issue. Moving on, kids are encouraged to bring computers to school, and schools will often boast to incoming parents that it has Wi-Fi and encourages the latest technology. Many elementary schools are being taught keyboarding in lieu of cursive. Now, I want to be very clear on one thing. Technology itself opens our kids to beautiful and new resources that they wouldn't normally have been able to get their hands on. I remember the first few years of my undergraduate degree writing my papers, and I had to go to the dadgum library. First off, I love the library. It's a wonderful thing. But I had to walk up and down those aisles and pull books off and throw them in the carts. I had to learn the Dewey Decimal System. Some of the younger crowd out there just went, what? The Dewey Whatimals, Mr. Moon? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, I had to go do that. And then I had to go to my little cubicle and I had to throw my books down. Then I had to read them. Then I had to check them out. Then if I kept them longer than I had to pay 10 cents per day over. Right? Let me tell you. The minute that I heard about these things called electronic journal databases that allowed me to sit in my dorm room and do a paper and print it off on my printer right there and put everything into this nice, easy, beautiful, organized notebook, life got a crap ton easier when it came to writing papers. So this idea that I think a lot of people get into where they demonize technology as some horrible thing that it's done to kids in their learning system, I call a BS flag on. Now, some of you guys out there are getting your feathers ruffled here. Because have there been some abuses or some misuses of, have there been some gross abuses of technology by some kids, etc.? Yes, I am acknowledging that. I'm not pulling the wool over my eyes. However, I am going to default and set a very firm line here. It's not the technology. I'm going to go on to this next one here. Oh my goodness, we're about to open up a whole other can of worms. Thanks to in-class Wi-Fi, some middle school kids on laptops are really playing Minecraft during social studies and can press a single key on their desktop to make their class assignment appear when the teacher walks by. You see, this one is just one of the ones that it takes the most amount of energy that I have not to really lose it here. Okay, I've contained myself. Let's move into this civilly. My wife and I homeschool for a very strategic purpose. The reason for that being is that we think that with definable and actionable results and research that we can show to prove this, we believe that the modern educational system is failing our kids. That may offend some of you guys. If you want to hear more on that, you can actually back up to the we did an article, I think, last week where we talk about the failure of modern education. Go check it out, and you can get a little more in-depth about what we believe about that if you're interested. But my first thought is if kids are in social studies and they're playing Minecraft, what is that class like that is so boring that they would want to take that opportunity to go play a game? I mean, let's take a look. If you ever want to get it, I mean, go look at Minecraft. Seriously, go look at the graphics on Minecraft and see what that is. And if kids are picking that over learning fast, I mean, social studies is can be so incredible. If they're picking Minecraft over social studies, why is that class so sucky? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be offensive here. But here's what the issue comes down to. In this case, they're saying, well, technology is making kids not pay attention in class. Well, let's be honest. Let's just say that we removed all laptops and Minecraft or whatever else from that room. Let's say we took every smartphone out of that room. What's going to happen when that same boring lesson about social studies is being gone over? They're working on little dumb, you know, handout papers or something like that where they have to memorize the this and that and all this other crap that really doesn't affect them, that really isn't interesting. What's going to happen when we take all that stuff away? You know what? They're going to find one of the things they're going to get bored with. They're going to start doodling on paper. They're going to start, you know, fidgeting. They're going to start getting up. They're going to start getting disrespectful to the teacher. So again, instead of blaming what needs to be blamed here, which I think is the modern educational system. I'm not dogging on teachers. If any of you guys out there are teachers and you're getting really upset here, don't hear me dogging on you. I think most all teachers, with the exception of a small few, most all teachers get into this because they love kids and they want to see kids get educated. I am, however, taking a big old poop on the modern educational system. The way that you guys are told you need to educate, I think that if you sat down and did real trials, research-based empirical data on how well does modern education work at teaching kids these things that we say it teaches them, if you did a real honest research on that, you would find there is very little correlation between success and our modern education. It's the system that I am poo-pooing on here. And I think that this modern system, again, if you want to go a little bit deeper into it, go listen to that The Failures of the Modern Education System episode we did last week. But I think it comes down to this. It is about producing factory workers, kids that clock in, they do what they're supposed to do by the teacher who tells them what to do, when they're supposed to do it, in the way that they need them to do it, so it doesn't tailor to their personal learning style, what they love and what they're interested in, and typically in one style of learning, which is auditory. I am going to lecture to you, and you are going to learn what I say. I think that's why kids are playing Minecraft. Anyway, I'm off my little horse about that. Moving on. But what I do want to end on, okay, so it may feel like I'm totally just saying Kimberly Brooks is just nuts. I don't think so. I don't think she's nuts. And one of the reasons why I pulled this out is because she goes through what she calls her 10 commandments of screenplay time, right? And I really think these are pretty good. I think these are pretty dadgum solid. I'm going to disagree with a few of these as we go through them, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I disagree with them. I think that these were written with pretty good limit setting, and I want to make sure that we hit on these. But I think some of them, again, buy into this lie, again, that technology is the demon and not the lack of relationship, etc. So, commandment number one, all children shall learn this amazing technology called writing on paper. Now, you see, I don't have a problem with that. I like that. I think that's good. I do think kids should learn how to write on paper. I do think they should learn cursive, you know, and those kinds of things. Do I think that cursive should be, like, mandatory? I really don't. I mean, how many of us learned how to write in cursive, walked out of it, and then had a job that said, we're going to pay you $150,000 a year if you can do this and this and this. You're like, good, good, good. Oh, yeah, by the way, you need to make sure you can write in cursive. I mean, really, how many of us are really seriously and authentically using it, not based off of our own desire or own like of it? How many of us are really using cursive now? I'm going to say it's probably pretty little. Now, some of you guys might write in. I'd love to hear from you guys telling me otherwise. Really, just write me in and say, yeah, Trey, I use cursive for this job here. I have to have it for that. I mean, I'm interested. I like being proven wrong because I don't like saying wrong things. So prove me wrong. I'd love to hear from you guys on that. But, I mean, in reality, when are we really using this? But I do think kids need to be writing on paper. I am frustrated with things like, poor grammar and those kinds of things frustrate me. And I think one of the best ways to do that is write on paper because you don't have your autocorrect and those kinds of things. Commandment number two, all kids shall receive a limited weekly online allowance. This lady here, this Brooks lady, when she wrote this earlier, she made a comment that technology is addictive and allowing children to attempt to regulate themselves is akin to helping them regulate their use of cocaine or alcohol. And I agree with her on that. I do think kids need to be taught how to set boundaries, just like kids need to be told how much food is too much, how much toothpaste to put on your toothbrush is too much. I do think they need to be regulated. However, the problem is I think they try to treat this like the U.S. government treats controlled substances, rather than just saying, hey, here is what is acceptable. Here is what is okay. You need to be on the internet this amount of time so that it doesn't affect this, and so that you make sure you're taking time for this. It needs to be an educational system rather than it needs to be a regulation, right? And why is that? You say, okay, Trey, I don't understand. What's the difference? Why do we need that? You see, the educational and teaching system says, I trust you to be able to make a decision about what is right and wrong for yourself. Versus regulation, which says, I do not trust you to make a decision about what is right and wrong with this. And so since you can't make the decision that I think is right, I am going to make it for you. So some of you out there are saying, yeah, okay, Dre, what's the problem in that? The issue is this. When kids begin to feel like you don't trust them, whenever they reach a point where they feel like they could be trusted, it is one of the surest fire and quickest way to create a political dissident in your family that will drive you nuts. It's one of the fastest ways, in another set of words, one of the quickest ways to produce rebellious kids is to teach them in any way, form, or fashion that you don't trust them to make big decisions when they're ready for them. And that is why I have a big problem with this. So, again, it needs to be an educational thing. You need to teach them, here's what we do in this family, here is why we do it in this family, and then you give them trust to do it rather than it being a regulation thing. Commandment number three. Every child needs to receive online behavior awareness training. They call it OBAT for short. And pass a test before downloading an app or going online. I'm going to read this directly out here because I thought this was really good. She said, like a driver's test, the OBAT test will determine, this reminds me of a Bill Cosby, obey. The OBAT test will determine whether or not the user is prepared and will address all issues ranging from privacy, there is none, cyberbullying, email etiquette, text etiquette, Instagram etiquette, and what information should not be given to app networks, etc. It will be emphasized that every text message, email status update is a public document and can be read by anyone and everyone, and there is never privacy, ever. Case studies should include Tiger Woods Gate, Anthony Weiner Gate, kids not getting into college because of stupid pictures gate, etc. All passwords should be submitted to the parents for all devices and all social networks so that they can be accessed at any time. If kids want privacy, that they should be there should be a journal or write a letter. And they will have to learn how to do it thanks to commandment number one. I love that. I do think that's good. I think a lot of kids walk into the internet, do stupid things, and then parents sit down with them and say, well, you should have known better. Well, you know what? Maybe. But I'm going to say 9 out of 10 times, no, they did not. Because nobody ever told them. Nobody ever told them. It's like you show up to a new job and you sit down and you start doing your work and then your boss comes in on day one and starts yelling at you because something didn't get done the right way. Well, did you get any training for it? Well, no, you didn't, but you should have known better. I mean, that's not fair. We recognize that that is not a legitimate thing to expect from someone. And it's no different for our kids. If our kids have not been told what is okay and what is not okay, in many cases, they don't often know. I know some of you guys out there are already kind of raising the philosophically critical eye there. And you're going to say, well, Trey, you know, once they reach a certain age, they do know what right and wrong is. And I do agree with you. There comes an age to where they know now what is right and wrong. And they did or did not do it otherwise. I get you on that. But in reality, you got to make sure that you've told them at least once. I would say if you've got a 13-year-old doing something and your mindset is, well, I never did tell them that, but they should have known better. My question is why was the relationship not built up enough before this so that way you had the opportunity to tell that? Now, I am excluding or exempting this idea that, like, you can get every single life lesson crammed into zero to whenever they're out of your house. I think it's arguable that you can. Because you should be experiencing these issues as well and then sharing those with your kids in appropriate and healthy ways. I mean, that needs to be happening. But I get it if you say, well, you can't go through everything. But that's a whole other podcast in and of itself right there. Commandment number four. Every school should implement a 1-month-long technology hiatus. don't necessarily disagree with this. Again, I think this particular commandment goes back to this mentality that technology is the problem and that kids are addicted to technology because we have it, rather than acknowledging that the issue that we're really seeing here is stemming a lot from lack of relationship from parents. But again, I'm not going to touch on that too deep because we're already almost at 30 minutes here and I want to start wrapping it up. Commandment number 5, if they must, elementary and middle school kids should carry bat phones only. When Brooks refers to bat phones, she talks about those, like those Firefly phones that have, like, you know, police, fire, mom and dad's number and that kind of thing. You know, just a simple one, you know, 1 to 5 button presses that you can have. And she says that, if they must have one, every elementary and middle school kid should have bat phones only. I disagree with this one as well. Again, I think this goes back to blaming technology and saying that kids should only have bare minimum technology. And I say it's a load. I know 17-year-olds that shouldn't have – I mean, I know high school kids. I know some college-age kids that when I look at them, I think, you know, you really don't need a smartphone. So this mentality that it's like elementary and middle school is the, you know, is like the times where they shouldn't have one, I don't necessarily agree with. Now, do most kids that I see in elementary and even in the middle school, are they not appropriately using these phones? Yes, I do concede to that. However, I hate it whenever we put regulations on age groups that's excluding those who are perfectly capable, perfectly ready, and perfectly responsible with these phones, all because the majority of the rest of them cannot. That just frustrates the crap out of me. I've seen my daughter be more responsible with some of her things than I watch some 40-year-olds be responsible with theirs. Does that mean that she shouldn't get a phone just because every other kid her age can't handle or isn't responsible enough for one of those? No, I don't think that's fair. I think that's the easy approach. That's the quick ejection handle. Let's get out of making this decision easier than we need to and that kind of thing, because it's just easier that way. Rather than doing a case-by-case basis, who's ready, who's not, why are they not ready, and let's teach them how to be responsible with these things. So don't necessarily like that one. Commandment number 6, no screens in the car unless during road trips and or at night. Now, I get this one. I think that's fair. Kid gets in the car, pulls out their iPhone, spends the entire trip home on their iPhone or Android device, you know, surfing, texting, whatever else. I get the mentality behind this. There needs to be a relationship there. My question would again come back to this. Why is it that that kid has no desire to connect? Why is it that that kid has no desire to be responsive to you when they walk in that car? Fundamentally, I'm asking, why does that kid feel the desire to shove their nose in a phone? My good friend, I talked about him earlier, Jeff Emery, the guy who co-hosts the Real Family Guys podcast with me, he always says something that I love. And he says, whenever my kids are presented with something that they shouldn't do, I love what he says here. He always says something like, you know, I don't want them to say, oh, I can't do that, my dad would kill me. He says, I want them to say, I can't do that because it would kill my dad. You see the difference there? One side of that is positional leadership. One side of that is oh, I don't want to do anything that my dad wouldn't, you know, I don't want to do anything that I shouldn't because I know my dad would kill me. He would use his positional power to punish me or to be angry at me or to take things away from me, to remove my cell phone from me, versus what I call persuasive power. I don't want to do that because I know it would destroy my dad. It would hurt him because I disobeyed him, and I don't want to. I respect him more than that. You see the differences there? That's persuasive versus positional leadership. Militarily put, we've talked about this on here before for those of you that are longtime listeners. But this is the mentality. This is the military, you know, fire team leader. The positional leader says, you know, go run into that hail of bullets, and he screams and yells at him to get up and move, right? Versus the leader who gets up and runs into the hail of bullets and then looks behind him, and every single one of his men is following him. You see the differences there? What I'm suggesting is that the issue is not about telling kids and using your positional power to say no cell phones in the car, but it's about building that relationship up so that when your kids get in the car and you say, how was your day? You don't just get a fine while their phone comes out. They begin to say, you know, it was kind of hard because this kind of happened, and I was kind of upset about this, and this went down. You see, that's persuasive power. That's persuasive leadership. That's the one where you don't have to make a kid do it because I'm the mama, I'm the daddy. That's the one that says, ah, that's my mom, that's my dad. I want to talk to them in the car. And let me tell you this, it's absolutely and most emphatically, listen to me very carefully, possible to have that. Even with your teenager. Now, some of you guys are going for the pause button because you're about to exit out of this page. Stick with us for just a while. Give me a month of talking about what we're going to talk about. And you'll see what I'm saying here. It can be done. Number 7, no laptops on play dates. You know, my thought is maybe. Maybe if that's been an issue in the past or something like that. I mean, I can get how that might be an issue. I would not go crazy about it, in all truthfulness, you know. But again, I can get that one. Number 8, no social networking until 13. No Facebook until 16, preferably 18. See, I disagree with this on a half premise. The idea of no Facebook until 16 or 18, again, if a kid proves himself as responsible at 13-year-old, I think that they should. I will, however, draw a very strict line here. Should kids have Facebook sites before they're 13, 11, 12 years old? I say, most emphatically, absolutely not. This is not because they're not trustworthy. I trust my daughter at 6 years old with a Facebook account. I trust my son at 4 years old with one because I think they both can handle it. They're responsible and they listen and they've taken in the things that we've taught them with. However, they will not have one until they are 13. Why is that? Because Facebook has said nobody below the age of 13. And I believe in teaching kids to be respectful of rules. Now, I'm big about teaching them to push boundaries. Why is it that Facebook has set up that 13-year-old thing? I think a lot of that has for the COPPA. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but it's basically California's things on privacy for children. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. And I mean, I understand it. I'm fine with it, in all truthfulness. But I think the minute that you say, no, you can have one under the age of 13, what that says is if you really want something, it's okay to go against the rules if you really want it. Next off, no screens until noon or wake and bake on the weekends. They title it down here. They say, I call it wake and bake. Kids sneaking into the kitchen to the communal computer to go online just because their parents don't allow them to charge their devices in their room. I mean, again, my thought comes back to, why is this a problem? What I mean, we're creating this as the problem. Let me phrase that. The author seems to be creating this as the problem when I say it's the symptom. Why do these kids not feel comfortable coming and doing these things? Why do they feel like they have to have their screens on? Why do they feel the need to sneak into the kitchen? Again, I go back to and I say it's more about lack of relationship. Commandment number 10. Parents are allowed to be occasional hypocrites and still enforce the commandments. I call a big old fat, that is a crock of crap. That is a crock of crap. They go back into this and say, well, we have to work. And then after I hand up, so anyway, the premise behind this being is that commandment number 10, parents are allowed to be the occasional hypocrites and still enforce the commandments as those saying, well, we have to work. And so because we have to work, we're allowed to do these things. And I say, if you're not willing to practice them first as a parent, you shouldn't be practicing or enforcing them with your kids. It sets a double standard. And let me tell you, double standards are one of the worst things. When I would have families come into my office, trying to work against double standards was hard. I had a family come in where the mom smoked and the kid who's 12 years old started smoking as well. And she said, well, I want him to stop. My suggestion was, then stop smoking. What she wanted me to say was to punish him, take these things away from him, spank him, don't let him have his Wii, all those other different things. But I'm saying the minute you say it's okay for you to do and it's not okay for me to do, you're running into something that's tough. They said, well, Trey, it's the law. The law is what said that is. And I said, hey, listen, if you feel like you can get away with telling your kids, I can do it because the law allows me to, but you can't, tell that to a 5-year-old and see how well that works with them. I encourage you, don't be hypocritical on this. So my answer to it is not to set the same exact restrictions on yours, but again, know yourself and set limits appropriately based on who you are and what you are. If your kids are responsible with electronics, then allow them to have those things. Teach them through relationship, through hanging out, through spending time, through talking with them. Allow the opportunity to hone these ideas, these thoughts, these perspectives. Get to know your kid. Teach them what is right and what is wrong about cell phone use. That's why I love the OBAT. I love the OBAT. I think that is a brilliant idea. Again, that's the online behavior awareness training program. I think that's a great idea. Teach them the great things about the internet and then teach them the very dark places. Teach them about the wonderful people they're going to meet online. Teach them about the people that want to do anything but meet up with them so that way they can rape them. I mean, I'm not trying to be crude here, but it happens. And so I think it's good to educate, to teach, to train kids on these things so that way they will have the desire to do what is right without enforcement from us. Here's what it all comes down to. If you had to summarize it into one little phrase, I would put it like this. We've got to change our mentality from this idea of how can I stop my kids from abusing technology? We've got to shift. We've got to get away from that mindset because that puts us at the heart of regulation. Well, what happens when we're not around to regulate? More often than not, kids will make that decision and do it anyway. We've got to shift away from this how do I stop my kids from abusing technology? And we've got to move it towards how do we help our kids make healthy decisions about responsible technology use? How do we get our kids to look at it and say, okay, I need to cut it off. I've had enough of we for now without us having to be there. It is absolutely possible. You see, both of those, they have similar outcomes is what it is. And that's why that first one is so lucrative. That's why how do I stop my kid from abusing technology to how do we get our kids to stop themselves, to draw those lines, to be responsible. You see, they both have the similar outcomes, but the path that you take to get there makes all the difference because it comes back to that one word. It's about relationship. Everybody wants the simple, easy answers. What do I do with my kid to make them stop being on this, Trey? What punishment can I do? What clever thing can I put into action? What can I take away? And I've seen some really clever ones. I saw one set of parents that would change the Wi-Fi password every morning when they woke up, and the kids had to get all their chores done before they were given the Wi-Fi password. Absolutely clever idea. But to me, that is no different than leaving on the caps to the electrical sockets after your kids are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 years old. At what point should that kid have learned, don't put the freaking knife in the electric socket or you're going to die, and they can make that decision on their own. I don't want to die, and I'm not going to do this. When did that point come along? And it's the same thing. Why should 16 and 17-year-old kids still need password-protected Wi-Fis to get their chores done? What happened? Absence of relationship. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of The Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. I want to say thank you guys for being here. Thanks to all our new listeners that are here. Again, if you guys have any questions or comments, please feel free. Shoot me out an email at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. You can also leave me an internet voicemail at the right side of the page, www.TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Right side, ask a question or call me at 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is 661-PARENT-0. I want to know, what do you guys want to hear? I want to make sure that we make this valuable. If you've got something you want to hear it on, a question that you have for me, you want to drop a question in and say, let's put this on the show. Or just say, Trey, I'd like to suggest a topic. You can do that by doing any one of those means, or suggest a topic by going to contact us, suggest a topic. I'd love to hear from you. Hey, hope you guys have a great day. I hope you guys have a great week. We will see you guys on Wednesday.